And welcome to Monday on the Pure Opelka podcast. Mike here, the morning after the Oscars that I did not watch one second of.
Not one second last night. And I feel pretty damn good about it. You know why? Because I saved, what, 4 hours of my time? And I can read everything that happened. And I got something else done last night. So I hope you didn't watch it either. If you did, good for you. Sorry. Not sorry. I saw Jimmy Kimmel made fun of Donald Trump. I saw John Cena walking around naked with an envelope in front of his tender vegetation. And then I read the list of winners. That's all online. You can do all that without having to spend 4 hours in front of the TV. Can't wait to see the rating numbers, which we will see. We will see them. A few things I want to talk about today. Yes, there were dueling rallies. Over the weekend, Donald Trump had a massive rally with overflow in Rome, Georgia, where Marjorie Taylor Greene represents the people of Georgia. Joe Biden was 75 miles away with a small crowd of mostly elderly people. And we'll cover what was said there, too, because Joe Biden is having a hard time getting over what he said at the State of the Union when he called the killer of Lake and Riley, I'm sorry, the alleged killer of Lake and Riley, an illegal. And then before he went to Philly on Friday, he was asked if he should have used that word illegal. He actually was asked this, and his answer is kind of interesting and twisted at the same time.
Do you regret using the word illegal to describe immigrants last night, sir?
Well, not probably. I don't regret it. Technically, he's not supposed to be here.
Yeah, technically, he's not supposed to be here. And he kind of said, I probably don't regret. And he stopped saying regret. He stopped short of saying regret. But then in cleanup mode, they had Joe Biden on MSNBC. And he actually did apologize for saying illegal immigrant. He actually said that. And now we're going to find out, does he mean that? What the hell is he talking about? He also said that he believes that illegal immigrants built this country. Excuse me? What about all the people who came here and built this country, like my grandfather? What about all the union workers who built this country? You're telling us it's illegals? And you've apologized for using the word illegal. You should have used the word newcomer, I guess. Maybe. Donald Trump in Georgia saying that Joe Biden should apologize. Big time.
He was an illegal alien. He was an illegal immigrant. He was an illegal migrant. And he shouldn't have been in our country, and he never would have been under the Trump policy. Biden should be apologizing for apologizing to this killer.
Yes, he should. He should. Early on Sunday morning, Will Cain, who, truth be told, is a friend, Will Cain gave a brilliant takedown and breakdown on Biden's statement that illegals built this country and on the fact that Joe Biden apologized to the guy who's sitting behind bars now, being charged, credibly so, with the murder of Lake and Riley.
There is no way to reconcile the need to apologize for using the term illegal in the wake of a murder. The murdered is the victim here, not the murderer. And if that needs clarification, we have come to a point where there is no longer an ability for discussion. You are upside down morally. This is beyond, I think this should be a breaking point for your average, non-political, independent person.
I think so, too. Will Cain, one of the clearer minds on Fox News. I encourage you to follow him. He also has a really good podcast, comes out every day around noon Eastern. At Will Cain. Just look it up, Will Cain. The other story that needs a serious finger wagging is what George Stephanopoulos tried to do to Congresswoman Nancy Mace this weekend. This 2 minutes and 8 seconds of what Stephanopoulos was trying to do is just flat out despicable.
Yes, this morning. And you've endorsed Donald Trump for president. Mm-hmm. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. I didn't come forward because of that judgment and shame that I felt. And it's a shame that you will never feel, George. And I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not gonna do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about Donald Trump.
No, you are shaming me.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim, and I find it disgusting. And quite frankly, E. Jean Carroll's comments when she did get the judgment, joking about what she was going to buy, it makes it harder for women to come forward when they make a mockery out of rape, when they joke about it.
For women to come forward when they
It makes it harder when other women
candidates.
Joke about it, and she's joked about it. I find it offensive. And I also find it offensive that you're trying to shame me with this question.
I'm not trying to shame you.
You are.
Well, in fact,
I have dealt with this for 30 years. You know how hard it was to tell my story 5 years ago when they were doing a fetal heartbeat bill and there were no exceptions for rape, incest, rape or incest in there? I had to tell my story because no other woman was coming forward.
I'm just asking.
No rape victims were represented. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I'm just asking.
And I find it offensive. And this is why women won't come forward.
Women won't come forward because they're defamed by those who perpetrate rape.
They are judged and they're shamed. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I
think it's disgusting.
I'm not shaming you at all.
I told my story. It took me 25 years to tell my story. I was judged for it. I still get judged for it today.
I'm asking you a very simple question.
No, you're a loser. And you're rude. And you were trying to shame her. It is absolutely remarkable that these people on the left are only going to go lower. Trust me on this, making a prediction. The left is going to pull out all the stops to go as low as they could possibly go because they are smelling a loss in the water. They are smelling it. Maybe they're smelling that Biden's just rotting. He's a rotting old man with a broken brain. And they realize that they're in serious trouble. Very, very serious trouble. And on top of that, on top of the fact that the candidate has brain problems and can't put sentences together and barely gets through a 20-minute campaign speech that he did in Georgia without screwing up a few times, the world is on fire. You've got now a fifth embassy having to be evacuated under Joe Biden. A fifth American embassy having to be evacuated because of the problems. This is put together by our friends at Citizen Free Press. It's a brief montage of all the times that we've had to evacuate U.S. embassies, including the one in Haiti that had to be partially evacuated this weekend.
From President Biden, a clear new message to the U.S.'s friends and foes.
America is back. Diplomacy is back at the center of our foreign policy.
This rapid collapse that we're seeing in Afghanistan is being compared to another infamous U.S. withdrawal, Saigon, 1975. One of the most iconic and dispiriting moments in American history. On the left, we see U.S. officials hastily fleeing South Vietnam as the capital fell. And then on the right, we see the scene in Kabul today. Diplomats, U.S. diplomats, being rushed out of the U.S. embassy as the Taliban enters the capital city of Kabul.
The U.S. embassy in Ukraine is set to be evacuated over fears of a Russian invasion.
The State Department has closed the U.S. embassy in Belarus.
Daring evacuation of the American embassy in Sudan.
Tonight, with Haiti on the verge of collapse, the U.S. military evacuated non-essential embassy personnel overnight.
Why would an 82-year-old Joe Biden be the right person for the most important job in the world?
Because I have acquired a hell of a lot of wisdom. I know more than the vast majority of people. I'm more experienced than anybody's ever run for the office. And I think I've proven myself to be honorable as well as also effective.
No, you're not honorable. You're not effective. And we have proof on both accounts. And the sad reality is the American people are paying the price. The sad reality is America. I just looked at the gas prices. They're up again. They're up 43% since Joe Biden took office. They will tell you that gas prices have come down, but that's because gas prices have come down from the highs, just like inflation has come down from the highs. But inflation is still here. Inflation is still over 3%. Inflation is still taking a gigantic bite out of the budgets of virtually every American. If you're lucky enough, if you're fortunate enough to have enough money, you might be able to weather it for another year until we get real leadership back in the White House, until we get sensible spending in D.C. The American people are starting to stand up and scream about it, and I'm glad about it. There was an interview this morning on Fox and Friends that I think is important to share with you. It was at a diner where people were just sitting there talking and sharing their thoughts with the reporter from Fox. There was a woman there who said, well, you can hear the interview yourself.
Jennifer and I were talking. So talking about inflation, do you feel that inflation has come down? Are you feeling happy and strong with your wallet?
No, frankly, when I see a difference in the total at the bottom of my receipt at the grocery store and at the gas station, that's when I'll start feeling better about the economy. But until I see a difference, frankly, at the grocery store, I'm not real happy.
And we were talking about you have your family home. You have to make calculations now when it comes to food that you didn't have to make before.
Correct. It's, you have to weigh, it would be cheaper if I made this dinner at home rather than take my family out and enjoy our time together. And I don't like to have to think that much about it. It would be nice to have a little bit more wiggle room.
Yeah. Biden likes to call it breathing room. You're not going to have that. There is additional inflation coming, and we don't even feel it yet because it hasn't been passed on. And by the way, Joe Biden talked about Snickers bars and shrinkflation during the State of the Union address. The people who make Snickers have said, no, that's just not true. That's not what's going on. We're working our butts off to try and not pass those price increases onto the consumer. But it's just pretty much impossible, thanks to the current state of the economy, the Biden economy. Speaking of State of the Union, SNL went after Katy Britt, and I'm one who publicly said I think the State of the Union responses, they're just a waste of time because nobody watches them, right? Katy Britt is a good, young, rising star in the GOP. But I don't think she had the gravitas to deliver that address. As a matter of fact, the GOP might have been better served if they put Joe Biden up to deliver the State of the Union response. What, you say? Joe Biden? How could Joe Biden deliver the State of the Union address to Joe Biden? Well, 35 years ago, Joe Biden did give the response to the State of the Union address from George Bush. Joe Biden, back when his brain was still kind of functioning, Joe Biden delivered the State of the Union address, and it is amazing. I have to give props to Maze Moore on Twitter X. He's the one who said, hey, this would have been a good idea. Imagine going from the State of the Union address that we saw, the angry, yelling State of the Union address that divided America once more, to a GOP leader saying, ladies and gentlemen, the GOP response to the State of the Union will be delivered by Joe Biden.
To put it in very personal terms for a moment, Joe Biden, me, I would settle for a world in which I could worry about the same kinds of things that my parents worried about, in which I only had to worry about the grades my children got in school rather than the drugs they're being exposed to, in which I only had to worry about the prices my wife had to pay at the supermarket instead of fearing that she might get mugged by a junkie in the parking lot as she loads her groceries into the car, in which tonight I could call my mom just to wish her pleasant dreams, not for the purpose of making sure she's safe in her own home. That's the kind of world I want. That's the kind of world you deserve. In a nutshell, the president's plan doesn't include enough police officers to catch the violent thugs, not enough prosecutors to convict them, not enough judges to sentence them, and not enough prison cells to put them away for a long time. We disagree with the president's decision to cut back on our previous commitment to protect against drugs coming across the border, to cut the Customs Service, the Coast Guard, and the Border Patrol. We think we should do more to stem the flow of drugs across our borders, and we think we should go one step further. Let's go after the drug lords where they live, with an international strike force. There must be no safe haven for these narco-terrorists, and they must know it. And we don't have to promise a world without worry or fear. We're not asking for that much. All we have to do, together, is to keep our promises and stay together. Thank you.
35 years ago, Joe Biden delivered the response to the State of the Union address. And this year, he apologized for calling someone an illegal alien after that person was accused of murdering a young American citizen.
You used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. I should have, it's undocumented. And look.
The border should be the top issue with the economy right next to it. And I hope the GOP knows that. We're going to see, of course, the left is going to keep pushing the abortion issue. But it should be the border issue. And while we're talking about using Joe Biden as an example of the great State of the Union response, I think we should continue using the words of Democrats about how the border is being handled. President Obama in 2009. President Obama, a Democrat, in 2009, talking about the border.
This is not going to be a free ride. It's not going to be some instant amnesty. What's going to happen is you are going to pay a significant fine. You are going to learn English. You are going to go to the back of the line so that you don't get ahead of somebody who was in Mexico City applying legally.
Amazing that the crowd is applauding this. If he said this at a Democrat rally today, they'd boo him. Rashida Tlaib would stand up and walk out.
But after you've done these things over a certain period of time, you can earn your citizenship.
Think about the concept of a Democrat politician pushing for earning your citizenship.
So that it's not something that is guaranteed or automatic. You've got to earn it. But over time, you give people an opportunity. Now, it only works, though, if you do all the pieces. I think the American people, they appreciate and believe in immigration.
Now, here's where we agree. The American people do agree on immigration. We believe in immigration, legal immigration, earning it, not cheating, not sucking off the government teat.
They can't have a situation where you just have 500,000 people pouring over the border without any kind of mechanism to control it.
Really? You can't have a situation where you have 500,000 people just pouring over the border without a mechanism to control it. Again, 2009.
Well, we've got to deal with that at the same time as we deal in a humane fashion with folks who have put down roots here, have become our neighbors, have become our friends. They may have children who are U.S. citizens. That's the kind of comprehensive approach that we have to take.
Now, DACA, which is what he's talking about at the very end there, is very different. Very, very, very different than the invasion of the past 3 years and 2 months. There's more from the mouths of Democrats, which this is fabulous as well. This is 1995. William Jefferson Clinton. This is 29 years ago. Bill Clinton's State of the Union address, talking about the border. He would be thrown out of the Democrat Party today if he said this in public.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country.
I'd like to take this, transcribe it, and put it into the Trump speech machine and see if we played it, if people would think, wow, that Trump, he's horrible. Let's give it to the Democrats and let him play it as Trump. Maybe the AI can put it together. What do you think? Let me know. I'll play the rest of it here. It's only about another minute here. Bill Clinton talking about the border security crisis.
The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens.
Just that last part, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. Think of the billions we have given to the millions who've crossed our border in the last 3 years. And what it's doing to the money we should be supporting legal citizens who are here experiencing the economic problems from the rest of the Democrat policies. Continue, 1995 Bill Clinton.
The budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws.
What a concept. We're a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. I think Obama said the same thing. When did they lose track of this? When did these guys lose track of this?
It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
Listen to that. Applause. Standing ovation at the State of the Union address. Who can argue with that? From the mouths of Democrats, maybe we should keep that up as a new segment. From the mouths of Democrats, all the things they said in the past, that's all the things they said in the past that sound like things they should be saying now, but won't or can't because they're not allowed to. Wow. Wowie zowie. Indeed. All right, I need to talk to Gerald Posner about this op-ed he did exposing the network of gender-affirming care. That's what they call it, gender-affirming care, where when it's anything but gender-affirming care. As a matter of fact, it's mutilation of children and some adults as well. I want to talk to Gerald about that story he's done, but I also want to make sure we give you a little bit of lighthearted fun here as we update the latest edition of the Trump train, including a little bit of Donald Trump from the weekend in Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get on board the Trump train. Biden should not be shouting angrily at America. America should be shouting angrily at Joe Biden. And we should be saying, Crooked Joe, you're fired. Get out of here. You're fired. You're incompetent. You're incompetent. Get out of here. You're destroying our nation. Get the hell out of here. You're destroying our country, Joe. Yeah, we update the Trump train every time we get a good new clip from President Trump, and that's from Saturday night in Georgia at his big rally. By the way, after 2 hours of speaking, he flew to Miami and wowed the crowd at the UFC event. Joe Biden was already home in bed in Delaware. because he can barely stand for 20 minutes. I don't know how he's going to debate, but we'll see. I believe he's going to debate. We shall see. Biden says it depends on how Trump behaves. Stop it. All right. As I said, I'm pushing the pause on presidential politics, but I want to talk about, I think, a really important and hot topic, and it's with my friend, author Gerald Posner, also an investigative journalist who does great work. He had a piece in the New York Post recently about this massive global network that is pushing the trans movement everywhere, which involves mutilating children. I really think it's sad and disgusting. And we'll get into it because Gerald has the piece, which was, I think it was called The Frankenstein Files. And he's joining us to discuss it right now. Gerald Posner, my friend, how are you?
Good, Mike. Good to be with you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, I've known you for more than three decades now, and we've talked on just about every subject possible. But this is a topic you and I have never really discussed, and that is what appears to be a multi-billion dollar industry in the healthcare world about transgender surgeries and the drugs involved. And I'm kind of terrified to even open this door, Gerald, because I think I'm going to get real mad when I see what the heck is going on, especially with this World Professional Association for Transgender Health. What did you call it? WPATH?
Yeah, it's the leading American professional health organization that whatever their standard of care is, and they're made up of doctors, nurses, practitioners, gender ideologues, activists, the whole bit. Whatever they set as the standard of care is what hospitals follow, what the NIH follows, what the World Health Organization follows. So they really set the tone. And Mike, they are more radical and further out here on it, really experimenting in essence, often with kids, both children and adolescents, kids under 18, that any other country, even the most progressive countries like Sweden, Finland, Norway, England, have all become far more conservative than we are with this organization. These leaked files, which were given to Michael Schellenberger, a lot of the listeners will know from the Twitter files, and he shared them with me before they went public this week. They are really jaw-dropping about how corrupt this organization has become.
Well, when you talk about the influence this WPATH has over the medical industry here in America, and I'm assuming it also extends beyond America, when you talk about this, how long has this group been around?
WPATH's been around, actually, believe it or not, its predecessor was founded in the 1950s, and then it morphed really in the last 20 years into a much more activist organization. So its current president is Marcy Bowers. She is herself transgender, is fully transitioned from being a man. She's done about 2,000 of these surgeries, including many of them on people younger than 18. Many of the activists who are in the organization have taken it far out on the edge. And what's interesting about this isn't just an organization that you say, okay, we have these leaked files and we now see that they've pushed science and medicine aside. Because when I say they've been embraced at the highest levels of government, we have in the Biden administration, the first transgender, you know, four-star military officer, Admiral Rachel Levine, who's the Assistant Secretary of Health, and she's a member of this organization. She has praised this organization before as being the one that you need to follow when it comes to transgender rules, and it's exactly the opposite. They should be investigated instead of being followed.
Well, this gets me really worked up, and I have to be careful here with my words as well. Admiral Levine, who is a medical doctor, I believe, Admiral Levine, who is now the face of the Biden Health Administration, it seems, even though Levine occupies a secondary level, but, you know, checks a box because they claim to be a woman, even though biologically born a man, fathered children. And I'm not sure if Admiral Levine has had the full transition, the full chop.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And I don't know as well. And yet, but I will tell you that what is particularly, and Admiral Levine said, about this organization, WPATH, that they have no agenda other than to ensure that medical decisions are informed by science. That's the quote from Admiral Levine. And what these files have that I wrote about in the New York Post is that it's actually an organization that just in its latest standards of care, they had a chapter about medical ethics, Mike, and they scrapped it. They said, oh, ethics, you know, we really don't want to have to be bound by ethics. So they just got away with it. Then they took away the minimum age requirements for children to start puberty blockers or undergo sexual modification surgeries. The age used to be their recommendation before 2022 that you shouldn't start hormones before 16. You shouldn't have surgery before 17. Then they took those away. So now not at all. And what do I find in the files that I go through? They are talking about a 14-year-old patient, a boy who identified as a girl and began transitioning at 4. And they wanted to know whether they could do a full surgery to do a transition at 14. They are talking about other children, 8, 9, and 10. So what they're doing on this process is they're cutting out the therapy, the talk therapy, and they're rushing the kids toward medicalization at an ever faster age. And they have a discussion in these files about informed consent, which they admit children don't have the capacity to do. And children who have surgery early on also lose the ability to ever have children. So they're infertile. If you start a boy on puberty blockers before they produce sperm, and you start a girl on testosterone before she has her eggs, they're never going to have children of their own. And one of the chief members of this organization said, when I'm talking to these kids, I have to remember they haven't had high school biology yet. So they really don't understand it. It, to me, that's disgraceful.
Disgraceful child abuse. We're talking with Gerald Posner, yeah. Author, investigative journalist, about this op-ed from the New York Post that Gerald has. The headline is The Frankenstein Files, and I encourage you to find it on the New York Post website, as well as Gerald's Just the Facts reporting. But Gerald, when Barack Obama was president and Obamacare became the law of the land, we were told that kids got to stay on their parents' health insurance until they were 26. And then we were also told that male brains especially aren't fully formed until they're at least 25. How in the world are we allowing this to happen to children, even before they're 18 yeah. years old, when they are of their majority?
No. You're right. There's absolutely no doubt that the brain, the frontal cortex, the full development doesn't happen until 25. It's why you can't get a rental car in many places until you're 25. Countries like Sweden don't allow sterilization decisions until you're 25. And we don't allow adolescents, we don't allow children to get a tattoo or go ahead and buy alcohol
pierced.
Or whatever.
You can't get your ears pierced, Gerald.
Yeah, that's right.
And adult.
But here we're allowing them to go ahead and do this. It's, Mike, I believe, and I don't think it's an overstatement. Some of your listeners might think it's just too much, but I really think this is as great a medical scandal as 40 and 50 years ago when they were doing lobotomies and they thought that that was a good surgery for brains before they realized that it was terrible. I think that in 10 or 15 years, the country will look back on this period and say, how was it possible that we allowed, under the guise of medical science, this type of really this butchery or mutilation being done to children?
It's experimentation. It's mutilation. It is heinous. It's irreversible. It is so many things, but it's also profitable, Gerald. There are billions of dollars
That's right.
tied into this.
Not only are there billions of dollars in terms of the drugs and the hormones, because one of the things that happens is once a child starts hormones, whether they get their puberty is blocked, and then they go on to what's called a cross-sex hormone. So it's, if you are a girl, you're given the opposite. You're given a boy's hormone, testosterone. If you are a boy, you're given the girl's natural hormone, which is estrogen. You're on for life. You don't get off. So what better for pharma than to have those customers? And for the plastic surgeons who have moved into this field, Mike, one of the things I found out in these leaked files is there is a new subspecialty called nullification surgeries in which children who think they've watched too much TikTok, they've been influenced by friends, they're at some very woke school, and they say, I'm non-binary. We've all heard that term thrown around, but they don't identify as a boy or a girl. they can actually have surgical procedures now that they call nullification or degendering surgeries to remove sexual organs. They can even, it's even endorsed by the society to be a eunuch, something I didn't think we'd ever hear endorsed by a medical society. And so you look like a department store mannequin, as I describe it. You literally are sexless, sort of like some science fiction visitor from outer space.
Like a Barbie doll, like Barbie and Ken. It's just got a smooth area there.
If I had spoken to you before I wrote the piece, I would have included that. That's absolutely right. And there are doctors talking about doing the procedures. They have done them on children, again, under the age of 18. They consider that the age that's even better. The president of this organization, WPATH, says in a discussion the best time to do this surgery on children is the summer, their last summer before they graduate from high school, because they're still at home with their parents in the home that they grew up in, so they can be taken care of. And another doctor says, oh, that's such a good point, because once they go off to college, there's so much stress, it's more difficult for them to follow up with all the follow-up medical procedures they need to do for the surgeries, because there's a host of them. And you realize this is in a saner world in which common sense ruled, we would actually be talking about arresting some of these people as opposed to, enshrining them in medical institutes and gender clinics around the country.
It's beyond infuriating. Gerald Posner, is there anybody in the world of making laws or protecting our kids? Is there anyone who is stepping in and trying to put the brakes on this?
So, we hear, I think there's more being done probably to stop boys from participating in girls' sports, the great work of Riley Gaines and others. So yeah. You see that as a movement. But I'm just amazed when I see the opinion polls. Let's say Fox does an opinion poll about the issues that matter to voters going into this election, coming up for the presidential election. The border will be at the top, and then the economy, and then there's crime. There's all the types of numbers. And, Democratic organizations doing it somewhere there. They've got abortion. But nowhere does this issue appear. And it's because I believe that most parents think it's remote. It doesn't affect their kids. It's not going to happen. And it's just growing. So this is the type of issue, Mike, that it's there. It's bubbling along. The cases are literally several thousand surgeries a year. That may be small in a country of 340,000, but 5 years ago, it was a couple of hundred. So you see the numbers growing and the kids who are identifying, and then the doctors who are practicing and the pharma companies who are focusing on it. So at some point, if we don't put a cap on it, if somebody doesn't take the national lead on it, I think it will explode into be a real issue. It just hasn't yet for the average American.
It is also a difficult issue to talk about when you hear about the heinous side effects, the problems after surgery, the lifelong need to have corrective surgery. It's all very graphic. It's in an area that makes us all bristle, because it's not normal dinner time conversation, but it's important because it's about kids and it's irreversible. Gerald Posner is this man's name. You should follow him on Twitter, X. You should also look for this op-ed piece in the New York Post. And whenever he's got something, I know it's always well-researched and it is founded in truth. My friend, thank you for this very important piece.
Thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And there he goes. And here I go, wrapping up the Monday show. It's Michael Pelka. PureOpelka.com is where you see the stories that catch my attention and find out where I'm going to be on the radio. Till next time, testudo, my friends. Testudo.